Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 5th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Senate Farm Bill debate has been delayed. The Finance Committee has dropped $9 million in disaster relief and a tax credit relief for cellulosic ethanol. And the U.S. government is offering loan guarantees to stimulate clean energy projects. I'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then we'll explore careers in agriculture just before we talk with Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It all comes up on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Create a Pledge Drive perfect storm. Visit willpledge.org.
Taking a look now at the numbers in Chicago as they finished on this Friday afternoon. March contract in the wheat pit at 9.02 was down 14. The nearby December soft red at $8.90, down 16 for the day. December corn futures unchanged at 3.42 and a quarter. The March at 3.59 unchanged. And the May contract down a quarter at 3.69 and a half. December corn for next year at 3.93 and a half, down 1 1/4. November soybeans at 9.40 and a half, down 13 and 3/4. January futures down 12 and a quarter at 9.60, and the settlement price for the March at 9.71 and a quarter in the bean pit, 13 cents lower. November next year, 12 and a quarter lower at $9.37. October bean meal off $6.30, down 6.30 at 2.59.40. October bean oil a nickel lower at 38.50. October live cattle futures to the Mercantile Exchange, 93.67 and a half, down 167 and a half. December futures down 172 and a half at 96.12 and a half. And the feeder cattle finished the October $1 and a nickel lower at 113.95. November futures 113.50. We're down $1.55 at the Merc. October lean hog futures 42.5 cents lower at 58.22 and a half. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the November contract at $81.18 a barrel, currently 26 cents lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 14,107 is up just about 133 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Hey, ask a favor of you.
Okay.
That guest of yours that's going to be on today, don't go easy on him just because he's a Cubs fan and they're in the dumper right now.
Okay? Oh, is Erdman a Cub fan? Yes,
Steve
Erdman,
he is.
BFG, is going to be on with us during Commodity Week this afternoon. Well, we'll have to talk to him about being a Cubby fan, I suppose. But not too bad. I won't say that I'm a Cardinal fan, but I'm a Cardinal fan, so that's...
Well, we might have a little. We might have to do a little explaining here after the Ohio State game. We sure hope not, but we may have to.
Indeed. All right, so let's talk about commodities. Kind of a rough week at the Board of Trade if you're a wheat trader.
Yeah, two things kind of came out at us, especially after last week. You know, we had left it with worried about the currencies and worried if the dollar would fall anymore. After we hung up the phone, and indeed the dollar seemed to find some adjustment, and we kind of put out to our clients early in the week in our letter that if the Fed rate easing mindset that investors came in to buy commodities on would start to slow and abate, then it would make sense that maybe our wheat, corn, and bean prices would go ahead and move back towards where we were right after the September report from USDA, when they turned their attention from the USDA to the Federal Reserve and really started buying with both hands. And indeed, wheat, beans, and corn, all on the front-end futures, are now down at today's close within the range we were at back on the 12th of September. So that kind of tells us the market's fairly cleaned up, and it's ready for the numbers next week. And that's a healthy sign. I think the other thing that kind of corresponds with that is the 10-year bond yield is right back around 4.64%. That's right back to where we were back in the mid-August time period. So that big cut that the Fed gave us, it sure helped the stock market, but in terms of actual rates for producers and for investors out there, it really hasn't eased those rates. So that's an ongoing concern of ours. But right now the market's fairly cleaned up, and the wheat was down. down 5% on the week. The beans were down 5% on the week. Corn down 8% on the week.
Were you glad to see today the number continue to come in fairly large? I'm thinking about this in terms of that no surprises might come into the marketplace next week. Informa's number was at, 13.506 billion bushels. We thought FC Stone had a pretty good-sized number earlier in the week. This was 158.1 bushels to the acre.
Yeah, very interesting, because you saw some lift in the corn after those numbers came out, and the beans really took it on the chin. I sent an instant message up to a pit trader, and I said, is there a possibility that the traders came in and bought beans and sold corn on the idea that the yields were very suspect in beans, but very big? You know, all this anecdotal evidence we've been hearing and all these estimates that we've been seeing flying around from producers and elevators, could this have caught the trade's eyes and they actually bought beans and sold corn? And if so, has there been any spread activity today? And they came back with, yes, there was actual long corn, short bean spreading going on. There's actually also some commercial meal hedge pressure, and so the meal lost its ability to lead the beans higher, and I think probably the trade is, again, cleaning itself up before the numbers come out, because both FC Stone and Informa's numbers would say the trade's pretty ready for a 2 billion bushel carryover in corn in terms of psychology, I think, but they're not ready for a 275 or 285 million bushel carryover in beans, and that's kind of what you're leaning on if you add the 20 million increase from the grain stocks and, you know, anywhere.
Did I lose you? Well, apparently did. We'll give him a call back here momentarily and see whether we can catch up with Mike. I don't know where he went, but we'll call him back right away.
Agricultural programs are made possible with support from Cargill, featuring ProPricing Grain Contracts, a marketing program providing a variety of contracts designed to fit a farmer's performance goals and risk tolerance. Information on the web at CargillProPricing.com.
Mike, what'd you do there? Did you just lean on the wrong button and
never
hang up on him?
Never say anything bad about Steve Erdman. He'll get you somehow, Todd. Anyway, the trade's probably prepared for a big corn carryover, but not very prepared for a big bean carryover, and that seemed to really show up in today's trade.
All right, so now I'm not really flustered, but let's see where we should head from here. We want to talk a little bit more about these corn numbers, or maybe about the bean numbers in particular, and where you think that marketplace might be headed.
I think the trade wants a 200 million bushel carryover or less, mm-hmm. if we're going to keep a $9 bean futures price or above. So that's kind of the mindset, and I tell you, we may not recommend this, but we may be in a position here. If we dip down in the 925 level or below before the report, we may actually try and come in and re-own some beans next week before the report with some calls, because the calls have dropped and implied volatility is very low right now in November beans. So we may recommend a cheap call going into the report if we see another 20 cents lower here.
Well, did you see the numbers this week out of South America, I think, that suggested Brazilian acres were up 4.6% or something thereabouts? Are you concerned at all about the increased acreage down there and forecast for another record year?
No, because I think the shift in psychology, if the May and July prices went up, was always there, that the Brazilians were giving us a lowball number anyway, and if we could get a rally on this weak dollar, then we'd probably see the number increase anyway. I think the other thing goes back to part of the reason why we may re-own some beans is because there is supposed to be a little bit more rain coming into Mato Grosso and those drier areas, but we've got areas that are down to 10 and 20% of normal in rainfall right now, and this is kind of crunch time for them. We've actually started to hear some whispers of people, the farmers delaying their planting of coarse grains and oil seeds because it's so dry. So that really gets them into crunch time when they turn, you know, off dry, in that time period where they go through pod fill. So there's a lot, I think a lot of people want to call a high in wheat, call a high in beans, call a high in corn. Our position is it's just too early to tell. You certainly got the dollar that's taken away from the ability of the market to just keep rallying for apparently no reason at all. But by the same token, you've got a lot of unanswered fundamentals out there that you probably have to give it a little bit more time before you want to shoot this thing.
That's kind of funny. I was thinking about crunch time for a planting season for soybeans when you plant over two to a couple months or 2 to 3 months. But I suppose if you've got 18,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 or half a million like Maggi has, that
maybe. Well, yeah, and, you know, like we're talking about northern Brazil in particular and Mato Grosso, that it's pretty much crunch time for them to get going before they get too late. It's kind of like our southern plains people. Wheat weather next week will be a big deal. You know, your July wheat ended up on the week, very nice showing, up about a nickel, but the front end was down about 49 cents. So it tells the hedger and the producer out there that we've talked about this. We think that the front end will break to the back end for a time. We're starting to see that now. If these rains come in Sunday and Monday in the driest areas of the southern plains, start hedging your wheat again is what we're going to be recommending.
Start hedging your new crop wheat.
Exactly
At what level? Are we talking at 670?
We've pegged over value somewhere in the 650 to 660 level. And so once you get above 675, we really don't want to let that go. I think we will push another 10 or 20% increment if we can clear $7 or at least test the contract high since we're within a dime of hitting it anyway. If we go up there and fail, that would look like a double top. I suspect we'll recommend another increment if we see that.
Anything else we ought to discuss out of the grains for the week?
Be nice to that Steve Erdman or he'll get you back. Thanks a lot, Todd.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
That is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Kansas City. He did remind us Steve Erdman will be on Commodity Week, and that happens, at least the recording happens, this afternoon at 4:30 Central Time. And you can pick it up off our website if you happen to get back in later this evening. It'll be posted to the website at about 6 o'clock. Of course, it can be listened to tomorrow morning on the radio station at 11:30 Central Time. Steve Erdman is our guest on Commodity Week, and that will happen tomorrow.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. Our own AM 580's staff says tonight across the two-state region, actually tonight in Champaign-Urbana, it'll be partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-60s, the southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour tomorrow for Champaign-Urbana. For game day, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 80s, south winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, low in the mid-60s, light southeast winds. On Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. South winds on Sunday at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. Looks like it'll be a great football weekend. Hope you're headed out to see the sports.
This is Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News. Your mom wants you to visit willpledge.org.
In today's agricultural news, Senate Ag Committee Chairman Tom Harkin is planning to mark up the farm bill the week of October the 22nd. Harkin had scheduled markup for this past Thursday, but had to postpone it because members of his committee reacted negatively to the budget allocations he had presented to them earlier in the day on Wednesday. Harkin is now planning to increase commodity title spending by $1 billion, including a rebalancing of loan rates for program crops, aid to specialty crop producers, and an increase in the milk income loss contract program for dairy producers that is more generous than what the House bill had provided. There is apparently still wide dissension among committee members about payment limitation proposals, although committee staff is working on that issue. The budget for conservation is still unclear. We'll stay in Washington but move from the Ag Committee to the Senate Finance Committee, which on Thursday approved an $8.8 billion agricultural and energy tax package that creates an Ag Disaster Relief Trust Fund and establishes new credits for cellulosic ethanol producers. Farmers would have a permanent disaster program rather than fight annually for ad hoc assistance under the $5.1 billion provision approved Thursday by the Senate Finance Committee. The provision was one of several approved by the committee Thursday evening, along with a new series of renewable and alternative fuel tax credits and conservation provisions The total package spends $8.8 billion for ag and energy over 5 years. Continuing on the subject of renewable fuels, the U.S. government plans to offer loan guarantees for alternative energy projects in an effort to stimulate investment and commercialization of clean energy technologies to reduce the nation's reliance on foreign sources of energy. The U.S. government hopes to encourage investment in clean energy by agreeing to repay a portion of the commercial loans that fund alternative energy projects in the event of a default in the financing. The loan guarantees could cover financing for refineries that produce ethanol made from farm waste, electric generating plants that capture greenhouse gas emissions, and other clean energy projects. The U.S. Energy Department issued final regulations for the loan guarantees last night. Congress has already authorized the Energy Department to issue up to $4 billion in loan guarantees, and the White House has asked for $9 billion more for the 2008 spending year, which began October the 1st. Now we'll cut to the chase of renewable fuels, and there are some current cutbacks in ethanol production. That may, by the way, result in a reduced number of DDG supplies and a tighter market for buyers there, though supplies of distillers' grain are still plentiful. The current slowdown in ethanol production may result in reduced supplies of the product and a tighter market for buyers. The production slowdown is occurring because there isn't enough infrastructure available to handle all the ethanol being produced, says Kent Hansen, merchandiser at UBE Ingredients. Government mandates for increased biofuel usage have sparked a flurry of plant construction because so many plants are coming online. The infrastructure is not ready for that amount of ethanol being produced, says Hansen. And there are not enough rail cars and not enough blenders. The plants, of course, are trying to run as lean as they can. Still, the slowdown in production hasn't affected DG prices yet. Hansen says Midwest areas such as western Kansas and Nebraska had a lot of rain this year, resulting in plentiful feed for livestock producers and less demand for distillers' dried grain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. A quick reminder, please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of the daily ag programming is an MP3 file if you'd like to listen to it directly from the website. Or you can sign up to have it podcast, and that'll deliver it directly to your computer. It's all there at willag.org. Don't forget, while you're on the website, to hit subscribe for our free weekend newsletter. That's at willag.org. Well, up next, careers in agriculture are on the uptick. It's an exciting time for professors of crop sciences at the University of Illinois. Department head Bob Hafe says maybe the most exciting in his career, and he admits he's been around a long time.
A lot of things have come together here in the last couple of years to make crop sciences a much more attractive, inviting environment for students, for employees, for all working in agriculture. What's come together is, for one thing, the energy boom, the bioenergy boom. A lot of interest in producing energy from agronomic crops. This has created some new opportunities in the farming community, created new opportunities in the marketplace for students coming out with a crop sciences major.
Couple this increasing demand with the flood of retirements as the baby boomers exit the system, and, well, you get the picture.
So we have a lot of job opportunities out there. Every one of our students are getting 2 to 3 offers that are coming out. We have more jobs than what we can place students. Salaries have gone up. We have the highest salaries this year in the College of Agriculture of any of the departments in the college for our BS level graduates. And I think those salaries are going to go up more.
Hafe says agricultural companies, particularly those in seed production, are on the hunt now for people trained in agricultural sciences, the biotech and muddy boots type. He does not see that need waning in the near future. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now to take a look at the cash grain market by Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, where he's the general manager of the co-op's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
How is harvest season going so far in your area?
It is going real well. Things are rolling. Now, it's kind of surprising. We keep getting a good, steady run in every day. I don't seem to have real big lines. It just seems to be steady, but we are pumping a lot of bushels through the place. We're probably 6-7 million ahead of where we were this time last year.
Yeah, and when will it cause enough of a glut that you have to limit hours or close down, or will you?
I'll find some wood to knock on, but I think we're going to be okay.
At all 7 locations?
I think between trains and space, we're running from 7:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night every day, except Sunday, and then we're just opening at noon and running late. So I think that we will be able to make it through.
And how far along do you think most of the producers are with corn and then with soybeans?
With corn, we are probably in the 60-plus percentage done, maybe a little bit higher than that. Beans, we're about 80% done. I keep thinking that we're wrapping bean harvest up, and then I drive around, and there's still more bean fields out there.
Did they get scared at all about the 13-14 cent drop that happened today in the beans?
It made the phones a lot quieter, except for the what's happening calls. We sure didn't buy a whole lot of bushels on this today. But the cash movement has been muted. We buy a little bit across the scale every day, but not huge. A lot of it's being put in storage, and a lot of it's just waiting for the week or so after it's in here to make their decision and then decide what to do with it.
Okay, so the same going for corn as well?
Corn the same. And overall, I think cash movement has been relatively muted. We've seen bases coming back a little bit, and I think that's part of it is there's some selling, but sure, not a wave of selling correspondent to the size of the crop.
And what are your expectations over the next couple of weeks?
I absolutely no idea on the board what's going to happen there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the bases do a little bit of improving as we get here and start finishing some people up and more grain gets put into storage to try and generate a little bit of cash movement and move this tail end of the crop.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 313 at Paxton on nearby corn, 898 on the soybeans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Bruce Bostert. He is the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Friday afternoon.
Thanks to these businesses for helping to make WILL's Central Illinois World War II Stories project possible. Clark Lindsay Village, Eco Water Systems, IBEW Local 601, and Super Value. Thank you.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, will join us. It's time now to take a look at your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A local healthcare group is pushing lawmakers to override President Bush's veto of an extension for state-sponsored child health care programs, or SCHIP. The main target of the Champaign County healthcare consumers is 15th District Republican Tim Johnson. The group says it has yet to hear from Johnson himself on the override vote. A Johnson spokesman, Phil Bloomer, says that Johnson's opposed to letting states raise income eligibility standards and thus raising taxes. CCHCC Director Claudia Lenhoff says SCHIP has been highly successful and should extend to more children and their families. Indiana students will soon take statewide tests in the spring instead of in the fall. Governor Mitch Daniels says spring I-STEP exams will eliminate last-minute cramming and could allow districts to start school closer to Labor Day. Meanwhile, Daniels' administration is working on a plan to reduce Indiana's reliance on property taxes, but the governor says that likely would require an amendment to the state constitution. Daniel says the Indiana legislature has at times raised state taxes and used the money to cut or slow the growth of property taxes, but that relief has never lasted. A legislative panel has been studying the issue for weeks and hopes to draft its own restructuring proposal before the Indiana General Assembly session begins in January. Lawmakers will meet for an organization day in November to prepare for the session, and the chairman of the Senate Tax Committee, Luke Kenley, says there could be hearings on property taxes before the end of the year. Property taxes currently raise about $6 billion a year for local governments in Indiana. An extensive online education project at the University of Illinois is taking another step this week. The application period is now open for one of the first global campus programs. The Bachelor of Science in Nursing is the first to accept applicants. A spokesman with the global campus says the first courses begin in January. Meanwhile, the enrollment period for a second program, a Master's in Education, opens next month. Authorities in the Kankakee County town of Bradley say a dispute with store management apparently prompted a man to offer his own response. He drove his car through the front doors of a Target store early today. Officers were called to the scene after maintenance workers heard the crash. The driver was arrested for criminal damage to property. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined now to take a look at the weather for the Midwest by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like a warm, if not gorgeous, weekend is on tap.
Yeah, it's something out of August, actually, early August at that. It is going to be rather warm this weekend with temperatures approaching pretty close to record levels in some areas, which this time of year you're starting to see record highs around 90, maybe 92 degrees. I think in general we'll probably tend to stay below 90 in most areas, but it's going to be pretty warm and the dew points are up too. So there's a little bit of mugginess in the air today, and that will continue through the weekend until we can get a cold front through here early next week.
And then on Columbus Day might turn a little more cloudy, maybe a little rainfall.
Yeah, it looks now that probably any rain would probably hold off till late in the day or on Monday night. So I think most of the day won't be too bad, but it will be warm again and probably humid. And then with that front sweeping through probably overnight, Monday night, early Tuesday, we should see temperatures down closer to normal for most of next week. It looks like there could be an upper-level low-pressure system moving across the southern Great Lakes next week, which would tend to keep things on the cool side and perhaps cloudy. But I think most of the rain will be concentrated with the frontal passage late Monday and Tuesday. So for those that still have to get out there and finish up harvest and other field work, there should be only a brief break in the weather before they can get back into the fields.
Can you take a look back at the month of September and tell me about it statistically, please?
Well, September was a warm month, as you might expect, although we did have quite a roller coaster ride through the month of September. We had temperatures generally across the region were running about, roughly about 5 to 6 degrees above average for the most part. It was particularly warm in the central and southern parts of the state. Most of the northern part of Illinois was a little bit cooler, generally about a degree and a half to 2 degrees, but down southern two-thirds was about 4 to 5 degrees above normal. Rainfall was pretty substantial up north and in the western part of the state, but in general here in central and southern Illinois, we were a little bit on the light side, but in general, I think most of the state didn't do too bad in terms of precipitation this month, except in the far south.
Month to month, is one warmer than average month portend the following one will be the same or not?
No, not necessarily. You really have a tough time making a strong correlation on that. We could flip here in October, although it doesn't look too likely right now, but there really is, you really can't say anything from month, you know, preceding month, what the next month's going to be like, other than the fact that typically in forecasting, we say persistence is the first best forecast, meaning that what's happening today will likely happen tomorrow, but at some point that has to change.
Anything else on your radar we need to watch for?
No, it looks like things are going to continue warm here for a couple of days and dry, so should be good for field activities, and probably by the time the rain does get here, we'll be all done.
Thank you much.
Okay.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joined us on Friday afternoons during the closing market report to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. Our guest this week is Steve Erdman of EFG. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up later this evening after 6 o'clock on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.